Facebook post.
What kind of man is Jesus?
The deliverer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The creator of the universe.
Tell me, what kind of man is Jesus?
Hallelujah.
What kind of man is Jesus?
Merciful.
Hallelujah.
Powerful. Coming. Thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you for revealing the love of God to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your plan. We give you praise and honor. Thank you, Lord, because you answer our prayers. In your name, our prayer is answered. We thank you. We bless your name. Father, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for this year. We want to thank you for this month. We want to thank you for everything. We want to thank you for allowing us to be in your presence. And Father, in your presence, we have the answers. In your presence, we have your guidance. In your presence, we receive your healing. In your presence, Lord, many things happen. Lord, let your mighty hand touch every worshiper who is here. Let your presence touch them. And even those who are watching online, bless them together with us. And Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. That let your blessing come down. Answer our prayers in this year of great things where you have opened the heavens of our lives, of our church, of our city and nation, over your church worldwide. The heavens are open. Answer your people. Answer them. Answer them. Answer them. Father, any satanic work, any satanic altar, assigned to close the heaven, to contest the opening of the heavens. Father, in the name of Jesus, that altar, let it catch fire by judgment. Let it catch fire. Let it break and scatter. Let it break and scatter. Let it break and scatter. I want you to take this opportunity and wage warfare on every satanic altar that wants to close your heaven, that contests the word of God in your life, that contests your progress. In the name of Jesus, every evil altar that contests the opening of the heavens over my life, that contests my blessing, that contests my progress by fire, by lightning, by thunder, break and scatter, break and scatter, break and scatter, break and scatter in the name of Jesus. And every demonic ceiling, principalities, and the powers and the rulers of darkness and wicked spirit in high places, in the name of Jesus, we destroy your altar. In the mighty name of every satanic ceiling that you want to place over us, in the name of Jesus, let it break and scatter now. Let it break and scatter. Let it break and scatter. Every demonic ceiling over Luzira, let it break and scatter. Every demonic ceiling over Nakawa, let it break and scatter. Every demonic ceiling, limitation, placed over Kampala City, let it break and scatter. Every demonic ceiling, placed over Uganda during this election time, let it break and scatter. The sky is our limit. The heaven is our limit. You cannot limit us by putting a demonic ceiling, whether that ceiling looks like glass, so that you deceive us. In the name of Jesus, let it break and scatter. Let it break and scatter. Every demonic ceiling placed over your life to stop your progress, stop your upward progress, let it break and scatter. Let it break and scatter. Every demonic ceiling put over your business to stop it from progressing, from growing, let it break and scatter. Every demonic ceiling placed over your life to keep you in a place of bondage, a place of sickness, a place of confusion, let it break and scatter. Let every satanic ceiling over our lives and over our ministry break and scatter in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor. Open our hearts to receive your word. And by your word, take us to our next level. In Jesus' name we pray. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. You can take your seats. Turn to your neighbor. Maybe you, since the year began, you never saw one another. Turn to your neighbor and say, welcome into the year of great things. Turn to another and say, welcome to the year of great things. Turn to another neighbor and say, the heavens are open because of God's mercy and favor. Praise God. When the heavens are open, according to the Bible, prayers are answered and many blessings flow. Praise God. And Jesus is our bridge. He's our bridge. I just want to encourage you to go and listen to the prophetic word we shared on the 31st, on the cross overnight. It will bless your life. Praise God. You know, God prepares his people. You know, many times people don't give him an ear. They don't listen. There's nothing that God does without preparing his people, without preparing his people. To prepare the world for the coming of the Messiah, I'm telling you, right, God started right from the Garden of Eden. Can you imagine? Right from the Garden of Eden. When he was making pronouncement about the sin of Adam, when Adam sinned, he told Adam, he told man, he said, the serpent will strike your heel. The son of the woman. The serpent will strike the heel of that son. And he will crush the head of the serpent. You just look at that. Christ came to crush the head of the serpent. Praise God. He was born of woman. He crushed the head of the serpent. That's why you can stand up and lift up your head. That's why you can take the ground that was lost. You can take it. Through Jesus, you can take it. And then even when he called Abraham, he said, I will come and I will take you to a land, I will show you. And there I will make your name great. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Whoever blesses you will be blessed. Whoever curses you will be cursed. And through you, through your seed, he did not say seeds, through your seed, all the families on earth shall be blessed. That seed was Christ. He was talking about Jesus. So he prepared the world for so long. Even through the time of Moses, Moses wrote a lot about the Messiah. That's why Philip went and told Nathanael, we have found the person Moses wrote about. Can you imagine? And now all the prophets spoke the same. To prepare the world. And even in Jesus himself, after he had fulfilled everything, as they were, the two disciples were going to Emmaus, and he joined them, they did not see, they did not recognize him. Then he said, how foolish you are. How foolish are you? From the prophets, Moses and the prophets and all this, they spoke about the Christ, that he must suffer and then enter his glory. He was still reminding them. Praise God. God will always prepare you for big and small things. Because for him, small things matters. Praise God. Small things matters. Little things matters. When something is little, it means it's small. In degree, it is small. Maybe the size is small. Maybe the amount is small. So small things matters. Tell your neighbor, small thing matters. Turn to another neighbor and say, small things matters. So as the year is just beginning, it prepares us. But let me tell you, small things impacts very seriously on our destiny, how we end in life. Small, small things. Sometimes people look at the big things. I want to be this. And they ignore the small things that can take them there. I'm telling you. We are going to look at that. I just want to encourage you. Be attending the service at least throughout this month. So that God prepares you for the new year. For this year. You should not just stop at celebrating the crossover. But you should allow the seed that you planted to germinate. If you planted a seed. A crossover seed. The offerings. Whatever faith you released because of what God has said. Allow it to take effect in your life. Praise God. So little things matter. That's our message this morning. Little things matters. It is from little things that big things come. It is from just a single thought. We shall look at that. Your destiny is built. The foundation of your destiny, if you are to fulfill it, starts with little things. A journey of 1,000 kilometers starts with one step. One step. Even if you are to go by plane, it starts by a step from your door. Maybe to the car. Maybe to the park. Wherever. That is how important little things are. Justine, don't ignore little things. I know this year is a great year for you. Something must break. Something must change. I say something must break and something must change in your life. And so this God is so faithful that don't let anything deceive you to leave him. Don't even keep ignoring. By the way, someone can be in the church and ignore the word of God even for 10 years. He ignores it. But he comes religiously. Some, because they have not had a revelation of Christ, all they had in their heart, they keep missing him. They keep thinking it's another religion. You know, people, and they keep, and the danger of that is it can make you walk two roads. I can be here, I can also be here. But I love God. No, fully surrender. Fully surrender. Little things matter. Little things matter. A decision you make in your heart, a decision you make matters. Matters. Whatever you are going to be in this world starts in a small way. So let's look at Proverbs 13, 11. Proverbs 13, 11. Dishonest money dwindles away. But he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. The other day I was saying, last Sunday, that sometimes people who want little money, they despise it because they simply lack wisdom. And maybe sometimes it is wisdom. I wouldn't say common sense only. Wisdom, they lack wisdom. Now, when God is preparing you to have what belongs to you in this year, take note of his word very carefully. Because money is one area that you need to have dominion over. You must have dominion in financial area. You must have dominion. When I mean dominion in financial area, I'm not saying you must command billions. No, control. Control. It's about control. It's about control. He who gathers money little by little, make it grow. Make it grow. You have all kinds of people who gather money little by little. Common people. You have mansions. They gather money little by little. You have saloon people. They get money daily. You have border people. They gather money daily. You have people who make chapati and mandasi. They pick something. But let me tell you, most of those people, they don't keep money. When they say they gather it little by little and they make it grow, it means they save it. They keep some portion. They keep some portion to cause that growth to occur. They keep some portion. Learn to save what you get. At the end of the month, you find that they have earned more than salaried people who government actually, or their company, keep for them for one full month, helps them to save for one full month. And then when they get it, they scatter it in one day. They scatter it in one day. They don't pick a portion to save. I'm not even campaigning for our circle. We have two circles here. But let me tell you, this year, you better utilize this circle. Utilize it. We are going to call a circle meeting. Utilize it. And be there to see how we can make it even better. The other day, you know, when we had that accident, that was the day our circle was giving out money. And by the way, Pastor Riet, I didn't know that I'd saved that much. I didn't know. But I was very happy when the money came into my hands. I didn't know that I'd saved that much, but it helped me to handle certain things at that critical moment. Little by little. When you gather little by little, whatever the source, let us be like the Jews. You know, what made the Jews reach to a point where they command, in fact, they are the wealthiest group of people in the world. The wealthiest. Sometimes people hate them because of their shrewdness in handling money. But most of them, they gather it from the Old Testament. They got it from the Old Testament. You can also get the same Old Testament, which is a part of your own scripture now as a believer. You can use it. You can imagine the Jews control the Wall Street, the center of business in America. 80% of it are controlled by them. 80% of European banks are controlled by them. Even 80% of Russian banks controlled by them. In fact, they control the world finances. Those Jewish families and those companies. Behind those companies that really control the world finances are Jewish families. But a lot of things, of course, are changing. But the principle remains. With them, they keep They say you divide your money in five jars or five envelopes. Envelope number one, tithe. Envelope number two, that tithe is 10%. Envelope number two, 10% also. Giving, giving. Envelope number two, giving, 10%. Envelope number three, basic needs. The money that you use, 50%. That's already 70%. Investment, money that you plow back into business. You are doing something, you put back more money so that it grows. 20%. That's already 90%. Then you save. Saving, 10%. Five envelopes. But it has helped them. Because after tithe, they make sure that still other money, there's still some giving that you need to give. People come. Blessings don't end with you. And even the rich people, they teach their children that they should give so that they know that money is not just for themselves. It doesn't end with themselves, but even for touching the lives of other people. Let me tell you, sometimes in the past, Christians used to despise blessings. And others are the religious one are hypocritical about it. They pretend that poverty is so good while they're secretly making a lot of money. A lot of money. That is the religious. Then the ones who are Pentecostal and the evangelical, they say, I think poverty is so good. They did that for a long time. What are you doing with the promises of God? Do you know why? Blessings in your hand are very important. Financial blessings. It is a tool. It helps you make the world better than you got it. You can make the world better than you got it through the resources that are in your hand. Praise God. Our women leader, Sister Grace Kinyera, you know, I told her I wanted to make sure that she's a tither. I said, now your tithe bring to me in the office. Because I look in the book for some time, I don't see her name. And then she began to obey. But this lady has helped children who are orphaned, many of them. How many have you educated now? Six of them. But a single mother educating six children is always of relatives who are left helpless. Bringing them into a house. This one has finished, another one has come. This one has finished, another one has come. When I looked at that, I said, no, she needs more money. And that's why I said, no, she needs to be a faithful tither. Why? Because tithe has to do with God's honoring God. Because God said it, if I'm your father. In Hebrew, the word father means source. Where is my honor? You are handling my tithe recklessly. It has made you move away from me. You have separated from me because you don't bring tithe. Come back to me. And the people said, how? He said, in tithe and offerings. In tithe and not only tithe, in tithe and offerings. Because offerings are multiplied and sent back to you. It's like a seed. It's a principle. It works. It works. Go in any society, whether they're Christians or not. Those who keep giving, they keep receiving. Why? They are actually engaging God's laws. God's laws are universal. They work everywhere, anywhere. They work in the desert, they work in the mountain, they work in the valley, they work in the river, they work in the ocean, they work everywhere. They work in Karamoja, they work in Kampala. They work everywhere. Praise God. Just engage his laws. If you have been careless last year, engage the promises of God connected with finances. Engage them this year. Don't leave them. Engage them. Push that gear into engagement. Let it work for you. Rebuild your life using the word of God concerning finances. Because as you go through this year, again and again, money will be demanded out of you. Again and again. And in fact, your salary will not even be enough. Don't just look at your salary. Your salary, the most important thing about your salary or your income, is it provides seed for you. It provides seed for you. Nothing comes out of nothing. You give nothing, you get nothing. That is why God told the Israel, imagine people were on the move. They were not growing anything. He told them, tell my people not to come before me empty-handed. You think he was tough? He was not tough. He was just teaching them a principle. Because after all, he's the source of everything. Have you asked him for what you lack? And when it comes, honor him with it. Honor him. So this year, make saving a very important part of your life. Make saving a very important part of your life. He who gathers money little by little makes it grow. You don't eat everything. In fact, during planting season, that is a season when there's food is in scarcity for many ordinary families. Judith, is it not so? But the seed is there. And people sometimes when they are going to plant, they look at the seed and say, I wish I could eat some of this. But if you eat it, you know you are not going to have the harvest. By the way, that's why after God got Noah out of the ark, when the world was wiped away, wiped out by that flood that God used for judging the world, God gave him a universal law. And that law is a law of exemption. Tell your neighbor, the law of exemption. Now, that law exempts you from anything that is not good. It can excuse you. To exempt is to be excused. To exempt is not to be subjected to what others are going through. You're exempted. If you're exempted from a tax, you don't pay the tax that other people are paying concerning that thing that you're exempted from. You don't. See? It's a law of exemption. It is in Genesis 8:22 that as long as the earth endures, as long as the earth endures, as long as this world remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. In other words, God is saying seasons will never stop. Seasons will never stop. As long as the earth endures. Now, you mark something here. Seed time and harvest. It doesn't say seed time and harvest time. No. There's no time for harvest when there is no seed. That time will not come. That's why it says seed time and then harvest. Meaning that when you plant, you will reap. The harvest will come. The harvest will come. Except when you are under special grace and God has exempted you. But let me tell you, that law exempts you. If they say the economy is bad, you are exempted from it. As long as, if the economy is bad, put a seed. Put a seed and say, Lord, they say the economy is bad, but me, this is my seed to make this season good for me. They say there are no jobs. Lord, this is my seed to bring for me a job that I can use as a stepping stone to another level. They say there's no market. Lord, I've sold this. This is now my seed out of it for the next market. You get a market. You eat all the money. You get a contract. You eat all the money. You don't honor God. You don't show for the next season. You want all to work in one season. Some people get contract, they don't honor God with it. You want to work only that contract? And those ones who have tried, that's why people who bring their first fruit, it is very rare for them not to have the next contract. Very rare. Very rare. God moves them from glory to glory. You know, some of these things, you need to test it yourself. Praise God. Because you can never test food which is someone is chewing in his mouth or her mouth. You cannot test it. When someone is eating, you cannot test what he's eating. So you need to test it yourself. God says, test and see. Praise God. Look at Job 8:7. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy later end should greatly increase. Thy beginning. Little things matter. Little things matter. You will start always small. You grow. You start small. Walk with God. You grow. Now, in this modern world, because of a lot of things happening, and because of media, television, there's a lot of adverts that talks about big, big, big things all the time. You get even children who are in secondary school. They want to be big even before they have learned how to become big. No one wants anything small. Nobody. Their program for big things, they talk big all the time. No. You don't jump. You just to become big. You go through a process. You must be processed. You must be processed. That's why Job said, don't worry about your small beginning. Your later hand is going to be big. Master how to run your business before you think. Some people, let me tell you, I've seen other people go into very big trouble. They start a business, and then because of the desire to be big, they go and begin to borrow. They borrow big amount of money. They sink. They borrow. They borrow. Make money grow little by little. It will actually help you a lot to escape all the kind of trouble that people go through. It will help you. They borrow because they want to be big. And yet they don't have the experience. Let me tell you, being big has its own challenges. Has its own challenges. And let me tell you another thing. Let me tell you, every person is unique. And God has a specific plan for everybody. And you excel where God wants, where God has ordained for you. That's where you should excel. Don't copy anyone. Because your success in that area, God may give you 100% or 99% and give you a tick then that you are 99% successful. And there's another person who seems to be very big in another area, in something else, and God is giving you, say, no, you are 30% successful. So really, don't compare yourself with anybody, but determine what is God's call upon your life. What has God called you to do? That's the first thing. Don't even let anybody tell you that, oh, you see, we should be like so-and-so. We should be like, no, you are called to do different things. That's why Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesian church, that I pray, every day I pray, that you should know God better. Let him give you wisdom. I pray for wisdom, for God to give you wisdom so that you can know him better. I also pray that God should give you wisdom so that you may know the call that he has placed upon your life. Let him reveal it to you. Wisdom and revelation, you know him better. Wisdom and revelation, you know the call. Wisdom and revelation, you know the inheritance, the resources that he has for you for that call. God, show me. God, show me the resources. God, give me the wisdom to access that those resources. God, show me where those resources are, which area I should engage in. And God will show you. And wisdom and revelation to access his power. There are certain things you can never do without the power of God. Never. Never. That's why the church of God is very important. You must have a local church. If you ignore it, you discover it later when it is late. Praise God. Thy later end should greatly increase. Turn to your neighbor and say, your later end will be big. Turn to another and say, my later end will be big. Don't worry about where I'm now. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Now, let's look at Proverbs 1:32. Chapter 1, verse 32. For the turning away, this is in KJV, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The simple, the naive, the inexperienced. They are turning away. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You know, a person who's a fool is a person who is self-satisfied. They ignore dangers, they ignore warnings. And let me tell you why God takes people small, starts as small, so that we can gain wisdom. If you lack wisdom, prosperity can kill you. You go and ask people who are divorced, whose family are scattered. Most of them are scattered because money came. Money came and there was no wisdom. I think the biggest problem that we have as believers, or man generally, is not when they don't have. I think one of the most serious challenges also that comes to people is what happens when they have, handling big resources, big amount of money, handling wealth. If you are not grown, if God does not take you step by step to grow slowly, you will lack wisdom. And that's why the Bible says the prosperity of fools destroys them. Kills you. As a pastor, I've experienced it. There's a gentleman who came to me one time, said, "Pastor, pray for me. I need to get this. I need promotion. He was working for an NGO. Pastor, I need promotion. So one day I said, "God, you give this man what he wants. Give him. Give him the things he wants. Give him the promotion. Give him the money. He wanted also a car. Give him the car. Give him the house." Because also I got concerned. Why is this? I've prayed for this. This man has been here praying for this thing. Why is it not happening? And God said, "Okay, let me show you." And then things began to come. And then one time the wife came to my office and said, "Pastor, we are in trouble. We have a problem. My husband has money. He has bought this car. This car now is for carrying a girlfriend. I see that girlfriend in the back. They don't see me. I've seen that girlfriend that is seated in the back is driving. He has got now another mistress." It became a serious thing. And the man had two kids. And when they were struggling to build themselves up, this was the woman who was struggling with him. Now man has come. There's another woman now who is enjoying. Be very careful when you are married. Be very careful of bringing a third party into your life. The third party will look so nice, so good, better than your wife. But that is, you know, when you are to catch a fish, you don't just put a hook there which is has nothing on it. The fish will not bite. You have to cover it with worm. That's when the fish will swallow it. So they tend to be so good, better than the wife they know. But that is pretense. Because your wife is real. There's nothing she's hiding from you. It's her real self. Just learn how to improve and work with one another. When they meet your children, they look so nice. To show you that even if you throw their mother away, will take care of these kids. Always bringing cakes for the kids and nice edible things for the kids. This woman is so good, loves my children. Some of them do like that and attack your children. Children who have been bright in school, they begin to become the last in class. I'm telling you, I've seen these things. I've seen it happen, and we only reversed it by prayer. Some women, they destroy the children of their rivals completely using witchcraft. They mess them up in the battle for resources. Even co-wives. Now you bring polygamy now, and the competition for resources starts, and the life of hell now starts. And that's how destruction comes. The destruction of the prosperity of the foolish destroys them. They enter into all that. Not only one, they can bring another, the second woman, the third woman. I'm telling you, haven't you seen people who when they got money now, they have five women. Build a house here, build another one there. You enter hell. There's another person who came to me one time. He came to me and said, "Pastor, I was planning actually to commit suicide. I want to die. I have two women. I don't know what to do now. I'm dying." In fact, he had just returned the rope. He was going to commit suicide. Then he said, "No, let me go to church." Because that man was our neighbor. He said, "There's a pastor here. Let me find out where the church is." He came to the office here. He told me everything. I led him to Christ. I said, "That's not the solution. In fact, you are going straight to hell. And it will be worse. Worse than what you are in now. The hell you are in compared to where you are going is going to be terrible. Do you know that your body will end, but your spirit is there?" And the man listened. The man listened. And God did a wonderful thing in the life of that man and sorted him out. Today he's retired, enjoying his life in the village. Praise God. Prosperity of fools destroy them. Tell your neighbor, don't be a fool. Little by little. Say little by little. Now, I want you to look at this example of the Israelites. Exodus 23, verse 27 to 30. There's something that you can learn from this story of the Israelites. This was an awesome God. Look at how these people were delivered from Egypt. Now, let's look at it in NIV. "I will send you my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites out of your way. But I will not drive them out in a single year. because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. Praise God. Sometimes, that's why the Bible says, don't despise small beginnings. People have different stories, and what God has given them vary. The bigger is your responsibility, the more processing you'll require, and the more time, the less time, the less responsibility, the less time. And things, so they vary. That's why you should not compare yourself with the people, with others. And that's why Jesus said, too much is committed, much will be demanded. So look, they were taking possession of the promised land. They saw the work of God. They saw the miracles that God performed in Egypt. They saw how they crossed the Red Sea. They came into the wilderness. So it was preparing them for the taking over of the promised land. Which other tribes, the other nations actually, nations. Not even tribes, nations. So God told them that I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. It's a good thing to allow God to be on your side. Is a good thing on a daily basis. Walk with him. Call upon him daily. In your business, daily involve God. In your family, in your home, daily involve him. In your finances, daily involve him. Talk to him about it. Why? So that he can contend with your enemies. And I will send the hornet. Hornet was like a big wasp. An insect, but which could sting with a poison. I will send the hornet. God has many type of hornets that he can send ahead of you to disable your enemy and to make a way for you. But verse 29 is a point. But I will not drive them out in a single year. I will make you take the land little by little. I will make you take the land little by little. I have given you this project. I've given you this vision. But I want you to take it little by little. You know, that's why sometimes, there was one time, someone said, if the church is near you, don't go to that church. Our land is near them. They will take away our land. A non-believer. Don't go to that church. They will take away our land. Two of the family members had come. He withdrew them. And one of them perished without knowing the Lord. That person had come to give, really to commit his life to the Lord. So when they're spiritually also sensitive, they know that the kingdom of light is a powerful kingdom. But when God takes your land and you cooperate with him, that's a different matter. When he wants the land, he's the owner of the land. He's the owner. He said, I'm the owner of the land. Praise God. Little by little, you take it. After taking the land, again, you take your project bit by bit. You take your business bit by bit. Bit by bit. There are some people who have businesses that can be run from home. Don't go and begin to rent if you can run it from home for some time. Build your capacity. What he was telling them, he said, look, if I make you take over the promised land at once, you cannot handle it. They have settlement. Now, when you drive away, those places will be too big for you. The wild animals, it will become another game park. You will not handle it. So you take it by little, you settle. Another tribe there, like that, until you take it over. So as you go through this year, as you begin, don't despise little things. Build your capacity. Build your capacity. God told them, you cannot handle. If I give you these things all at once, you cannot handle it. If you have all this money at once, you cannot handle it. Money that you get now, if it's big money, if you had come 20 years earlier, I want to tell you the way you will handle it is very different. Very different. Very different. If you don't build capacity, you know, some of old men, some mature men who go and drive a certain kind of funny cars that young people who have just started work should be driving, especially when it comes to sports car. Sports car with a lot of noise, but you see that they're already in 40s, 30s, late 30s, they drive those cars that make a lot of attraction. It just shows you that they did not go through certain experiences. They never had toys for playing. They miss certain steps. So they want to fill that gap. They want to feel what they have missed. That's why it is so good for you to allow God to take you bit by bit. It's not good to jump. The best, in fact, whatever you missed out there, if you're in the church of God, you'll receive the wisdom to handle yourself correctly. It's about building capacity. Praise God. It's about building capacity. Let's look at Zechariah 4, 9 to 10. Zechariah 4, 9 to 10. Zerubbabel laid, I'm reading it from the Living Bible. Zerubbabel laid the foundation of this temple, and I will complete it. Then you will know this message are from God, the Almighty. Do not despise this small beginning. For the eyes of the Lord rejoice to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. For these seven lamps represent the eye of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord that see everywhere around the world. The point here is God is telling you that don't underestimate small beginnings. Don't underestimate small beginnings. Sometimes you can see, my things are delaying. Where have you reached? Just be with God there. Be with Him, walk with Him. Why? So that He can correct the mistakes you have made. He can help you. He can grant you wisdom. Wisdom comes out of, many times even out of mistakes that you make. God allows some mistakes. As long as you can learn from them, you are better off than anyone who has never made a mistake in that area. You are better off. So, God delights in small acts of service done in faithfulness. Zerubbabel was given a task to rebuild the temple, which was destroyed. But it looked impossible. In fact, everybody was discouraged. It looked so impossible. Because when they compared the kind of resources Solomon had for building the first temple, and then now what they had after coming back from exile, it was impossible. But the prophet, God sent the prophet, go and tell him, go and tell Zerubbabel that, yes, you have started. I've seen you have laid the foundation. Don't get discouraged. The plumb line is this one, this string with a bob for measuring the wall to make sure it is straight. The plumb line was in the hand of Zerubbabel. In others, God was happy because whatever the man had begun to do was right, was correct. So it was encouraging that don't worry about the smallness. You look so small, you look so few, but you'll work it out. You'll finish it. Even I told people that the way you'll know that it is I who has given Zerubbabel this task is when the temple is finished. That's when some of you who are doubting will believe. Praise God. He told them, the eyes of God scanning the whole earth to ensure that his will is done. Praise God. Let me tell you, church, the will of God will be done in your life. Just walk with him. Walk with him. Lastly, take note of this. Matthew 13, 31 to 33. Matthew 13, 31 to 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still. Yeah, let's end up with 31, 32. So the kingdom of God, the things of God's kingdom start small. The things connected with God start small. Seemingly insignificant, but don't let it worry you. Some people overlook it. But let me tell you, small acts of faith will bring great outcome for you. Continue moving in faith. Doing small things. Making your contribution. Doing your part. And you do it in faith. The outcome will be powerful. The impact will be great. That's how the kingdom of God functions. That's the kingdom in which we are in. The rule of God. It starts thing small. It grows. It impacts the world. You are called to impact your world. Our church is called to impact this community, impact our city with the gospel of the kingdom. With the kingdom. Influence. It is about influence. Which people are you influencing? And towards what? Which people are you influencing? Ask your neighbor, who are you influencing? In your workplace, who are you influencing? Among the people you meet, who are you influencing? In business, who are you influencing? In the village where you live, who are you influencing? Mary, who are you influencing? See? Who are you influencing? In your school, who are you influencing? And towards what? This year, you must allow the kingdom of God in your life to influence. To influence others. Mercy, who are you influencing? Positively. We have to be very careful with our lives. I've met people who sent a report to me and said, I left church because of so and so. I saw so and so was messing. That's why I left church. I ran away. That was a negative influence. And let me tell you, look at yourself. Don't focus on others. Because each one of you will stand before God, before the throne of judgment alone. You need to know that alone, not as a group. As someone is messing, watch yourself so that you don't also mess. Sometimes you concentrate on others while you are messing and you don't realize you are messing. Who are you influencing? Ask your neighbor, who are you influencing? This year, You a disciple, be a witness, influence people for Christ, influence them, let the kingdom influence people around you. John, influence people. Let people look at you and say, no, I want to be like this woman. Where is your church? Let them begin to come to you for advice. And you invite them in church. The kingdom. Help build the kingdom. It's about influence. The end result is influence. Whatever grows, it grows to influence for the kingdom. Praise God. Lift up your hands and talk to the Lord to give you the grace to handle small things well, so that in the end you influence your world towards the kingdom of God. Talk to him. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. Father, you have called us to grow wherever you have planted us, to grow in whichever thing you have called us to go, to do, to grow until we have influenced our world, where we have impacted our world. In the mighty name of Jesus, grant us the grace. Grant us the grace. Grant us the grace. Let your influence touch our world out of our own lives. Touch our world. Touch our relatives. Touch our communities. Touch our nation. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are here, you want to give your life to Christ, maybe you have no relationship with God, you can enter a relationship with him right now through a simple prayer of commitment. Can I see your hand? You want to give your life to Jesus? And for those who are watching online, you can enter a relationship with the Almighty God through his son Jesus, through a simple prayer of commitment. And you can follow that prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you as a sinner. Forgive my sins. I repent of my sins. Right now I invite you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Amen. If you say that prayer from your heart, you are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Find a Bible teaching church near you where you can go and fellowship in order to grow spiritually. If you live in the city of Kampala, you are most welcome to worship with us at Victory Church of Christ Ministries International in Luzira. And I know your life won't remain the same. You can reach us through our contacts on the screen and tell us about your commitment to Jesus Christ through this prayer that you have just said. And we shall send you reading materials that can strengthen you in your newfound walk with God. Waiting to hear from you. God bless you abundantly. Let's pray. Father, I commit your people who are here into your hands. Bless them. Mightily bless them. Mightily bless them. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Let them impact their world. Let them impact their workmates, their relatives, the people they associate with for the sake of the kingdom. Let them impact the world in a way that will glorify your name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.